We could. Let's start with prayer. Father, thank you for your word and all the truth that it contains. I ask that your spirit will clearly convey what you would have us to consider this morning. Glorify yourself through our study today. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay. I got to adjust these. Don't get old. It doesn't help. Okay. So with our home improvement series focusing on building up the church, we have looked at love, honor, living in harmony, accepting, encouraging, greeting, agreeing with, and serving one another so far. So today we're going to look at bearing one another's burdens and sorrows. Now, can you imagine what life would be like if no one in your family cared enough about what you were going through to want to help you with it? Has anyone here, and be honest now, have parents who basically said to us when we were growing up and we were in a distressing situation, well, that's your problem. You deal with it. Or, gee, tough luck, kid. No. As parents and members of our earthly families we care about, we help and share the load amongst ourselves. That's just part of being a family. Even the world understands that. At least we should. And if we don't, there's a major problem there. I won't go into that now. So our inclination to our children is to help, to ease their hardships, encourage them. So when our parents age and require help, hey, the tables get turned. And not only should we do what we can, but Scripture tells us to honor our mother and father. It's the fifth commandment. And in the New Testament, we're encouraged to, and I'll paraphrase here, care for our own families. And it's not the government's job. Not the government's job. I added that. Okay. That's not Scripture. Please. Okay. After saying all that, don't we, as adopted members of God's family in the blood of His Son, have the same responsibility to our spiritual family? For those in doubt, the answer is yes, we do. So today, we'll look at 3 points of burden bearing, or if you will, burden sharing. One, what does Scripture tell us about this area and how it relates to the gospel? Two, how does this work within God's family? And three, what are some real life ways to put this into practice? As an example, let's start with a simple object lesson. You'll see there's a milk can up here. And I will ask, and I just saw Bev go back to get Caleb, so that's my other victim, I mean volunteer. So I will ask for a volunteer. I already picked one. Jessica, if you would come up, please. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is pick that up and take it to the other side. Please.
Don't have a lid. I don't have a lid. It has a hole in the bottom.
So it wouldn't do me any good. Okay. Number one. Was that easy? No. So if you had to carry that thing from here up to the wall, would that be something you'd want to do? Wouldn't it be better if you had somebody else come alongside? It has two handles, by the way, and at least help. Caleb, come on up. Now, if each of you would take a handle and bring it back over to the other side, please. Now, obviously, Caleb doesn't know what it felt like to pick it up by himself, but you did. Now, which would you rather do? Carry that some distance by yourself or with help? Well, let's do it with him, but with help. Okay. All right. Thank you. You can come down now. Very nice. Like I said, that's just a simple object lesson, but it conveys the truth of what we're talking about. Remember, the burden, number one, did not disappear. It still had to be borne and carried. And did not get any lighter in its totality. It was still there. It's every one of us, men, women, children, young, old, strong or weak, doesn't matter. We will at various times be carrying burdens and sorrows. That's facts, life. That's what we have. Scripture tells us that as believers and members of one another, we are to bear one another's burdens. And the scripture verse for that's Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I started looking this up. The reference to the law of Christ is stated also in James 2:8, that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. This actually goes back to the Old Testament in Leviticus 19, verse 18, part B. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it goes, it's throughout the Bible. There's no escaping it. I mean, it's there. Jesus himself commanded us to love one another as he loves us, as in John 15:12. And it's reinforced in verse 17 with rather strong language. He says, these things I command you. Doesn't say suggest, it says commands. I command you that you love one another. Other biblical references would be Galatians 5:14, Isaiah 58:6, Romans 15:1, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, 1 John 4:21, and John 13:34. And they all admonish us to love those in the faith. Now, Bruce did a great job on loving others in the body of Christ at the beginning of our Sunday school series. And we're commanded to do this for proper functioning within the church. If part of loving others is to bear their burdens, that's part and parcel with it. And I'll use the word burden interchangeably with sorrows, even though sorrow is a different type of burden. And just ask anyone who has gone through it or is going through it. It's something you carry. It's there. But it's different than a normal type of burden, I'll say. So, how do we bear sorrows and burdens with our brothers and sisters in the Bible? Obviously, Jesus is our greatest example. We have, in this regard, and we are to emulate him and become more like Christ as we follow him. Isaiah 53:4. States, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The cross is the extreme picture of how he bore our burdens, which is our sins. Matthew 8:17 also restates us. Now, it's interesting to check the words in this verse. Griefs literally mean sicknesses, the sickness of sin. And sorrows are literally pains. Esteemed or reckoned and smitten or struck down gives us a clear picture. In 1 Peter 5:7, a verse many of us are familiar with, which is to say, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So look up this, the word casting. It has the sense of rolling a heavy load from ourselves. When we think of it, many of our cares, griefs, sorrows, the things that we carry around every day, they're just plain too heavy to toss aside. You can't just... So that carries the connotation and the sense of roll it off because of its weight. Now, let's say, lose my place. So when we think of it, okay, toss aside, be forgotten. But as we roll off their weight, we're now free to do other things. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus makes an invitation, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the following two verses, the Lord tells us that his yoke, or his burden, is light and easy. And the implication here is that Jesus is bearing the brunt of our load, gives us a lighter or lighter weight to carry in place of the load we give him. The Lord also called out the lawyer. And this is the flip side of that, okay? So it's not all just one-sided. He's showing the other side. So when Jesus walked on the earth, the Lord called out the lawyers of his day for doing the exact opposite. And that's in Luke 11:46. And he told them that they loaded men up with heavy burdens, but wouldn't even touch said burden with one of their fingers. So he's showing both sides. He says, you do this. But you don't want to be like these guys over here. This is what they're doing. I don't think it's really changed a whole lot since then. Okay, So now we have a sense of the biblical understanding of bearing one another's burdens. How does this play out in our relationships within the body of Christ? There are several ways to apply this. First, we can invest time in listening. I don't know about you, but when I think about listening, it's a dying thing. It's something we don't quite get the way we should, I think. Many instances, this art of listening has been lost. Just think about, you know, people going down the street on their iPhone, or they're doing this, or they're on their phone, they're talking, they're doing, but they're not conversing with anybody face to face. There's no personal rapport there. It's a little machine. And certainly our culture today, with its emphasis on everything being personal and all about us, has pushed the act of listening to others to the edge of our relationships. Now, this is true in marriage, intergenerational relationships, and even in the church. And I sort of tried to look at this from somebody that would be self-centered in that respect. And today, if it ain't about me, then I ain't interested. That sort of fits our idea of listening in today's culture. Notice I used the word invest time in listening, because if done correctly, the very act of someone sharing their burden with you helps diminish the weight, the apparent weight, what you feel, what you're carrying. How many times have we heard someone out, and the conclusion they have something to say to the effect of, man, I just had to get that off my chest. Or, I know there's nothing you can do about it, but thank you for listening. There's something there that when you listen to someone, you may not be able to do a thing, but you give them, what's the right word? You give them an assurance or validity that what they're feeling is real, that they're not all by themselves. I don't know anybody. Anybody around here want to be alone all the time? I didn't think so. Why do we show up at church? There's a body here, all of us. So, another way to bear with someone is to be an encouragement. Using scripture is especially important. We can remind them of God's promises to his children that we as believers have. We can also remind them of God's faithfulness. And see the old thing? Count your blessings one by one. Start counting. You can't get to the end of it. Another way is we can walk alongside, and we can also work alongside them. Sharing simple chores or tasks puts real power into a relationship. So I can give you a personal example of this. When I was about 10 years old, man, that's a long time ago, and my best friend had a paper route through our neighborhood. And during the winter, when bad weather was around, well, I'd ride my bike alongside his, and we'd deliver the papers together. Now, I never received any of his, we won't call it pay, what he got for it. I enjoyed the time with him, and I know he did too. But it did make the burden of doing that task lighter. That was sharing the load. So one of the easiest ways to share burdens, and this is especially applicable with sorrows, is to pray with and for the individual. Now, when we intentionally involve God in our relationships through prayer and other ways, we have access together to the power and peace of Almighty God. And that is an awesome opportunity. That's something the world does not have. We have access to it. We would be foolish if we don't use it. And we should. I don't stand up here and say, oh, I do all that, now I'm great. No, no. I think it's something that, as a believer, I think we struggle with. We find that there's things in life that crowd it out. I really want to go to that game, or I want to ride my bike, or I got to go out to my son's house. There's always something. We can always find something of the world to plug our time and cut God out of it. So we need to keep that in mind. We have access to the God that created the universe and created us. And his son's blood saved us. And we should take full advantage of that opportunity. Another practical way of bearing hardships with our brothers and sisters in situations where you may be able to do it is to offer our time to babysit, to elder sit, run errands, give someone some downtime. I know that's important, especially when you have a death of a close loved one. The grief just, it rubs out everything else, and things just don't get done. And to give someone that time to just, you know, hey, just take it easy, go, just relax. I'll take care of things while you're gone. That can be a big help. That doesn't always work in every situation, obviously. Another way is that we can provide a meal. I'll be kind of funny here. Provided we can cook, which if we can't, might be better to purchase a meal and take it to them or take them out to eat. We don't want to get them sick. So I just say that, put it in there. Now, we can be a true friend, which may mean that we challenge or even admonish them in love. Now, there's that love thing again. You can't get very far away from it. And referring back to Scripture can help us in this regard. In any of these situations, and ones I didn't mention, we should give liberally of ourselves and be available. We need to resist the temptation to make it about us or to preach at them. We need to have ourselves there and be available. We need to put others before ourselves. And that was one of the things we learned in our summer Sunday school series. And that also comes from Romans 12:10, part B. It says, in honor, giving preference to one another. And in all these things, our acts is what defines servanthood. And we were told, and Christ gave us the example in the Last Supper, when he washed the disciples' feet, and he said, even though I'm your teacher, see what I've done. I became your servant. And for you to follow me, you need to be a servant. As in the object lesson earlier, bearing burdens with someone doesn't remove the burden. It does make it more tolerable. And when we share of ourselves, we build our relationships up. We bring a blessing to another and also receive a blessing. Especially with shared sorrow, we demonstrate to a lost world that Christians are different. Jesus took our sorrow, the sorrow of our sins, and bore them himself. Do we remember how freeing that felt? What was your first reaction when you realized that burden of sin that was weighing you down? Or even if you didn't realize it was weighing you down, it was hanging over your head. It was your death sentence. When that was removed, can you remember what that felt like? How you first felt, wow, it's a whole different world. And when we share ourselves with other believers and vice versa, our hearts are knit together in unity. We should always be genuine in our brotherly, sisterly love, remembering, here's a good one, that we're going to be together for eternity. So if you don't like me now, you're not going to like me then. When we think about it, how can we allow division within the church when we're going to be together for eternity? That's not going to end. Folks, we're all going to be there. We're going to see each other. We're going to know who we are, along with all the rest of the believers. To me, and I've been through church split things. They're ugly. And I look at that and I think, you people, you're going to be together. You're still going to be fighting there? It just doesn't make sense. So there's many benefits to removing our focus on ourselves, bearing one another's burdens and sorrows. Biblically honors the Lord, helps to build our defenses against Satan. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12, that two are better than one, and a three-strand cord is not quickly broken. Now, here's something that I don't know if anybody's ever thought about. I didn't until I started to research this. That there's another benefit to sharing burdens with another, and that is we get to share in their joys as well. When you have, I use the term knit together, your hearts knit together. When you have a real relationship with another believer, you not only want to, and biblically, but you want to help them in whatever way you can. The joys that they have, they share with you, and you get to share in those joys as well. As a group, I think the world looks at Christians and doesn't see our joy. They see somebody going around a lot of times, it's the same as they are. They don't see that happiness that we really do have. We say we have it, but do we show it? And bearing one another's burdens, we show the rest of the world, hey, look, we're different. Not weird different. They may think we're weird. That's fine. We're different. But we're different in a good way. Wow. I didn't use much time. So we'll have some time to discuss some things. But wrap this up. When I began to think about all the topics relating to building the body of Christ up, what we studied in this home improvement series, I see that all the lessons are fitting together like cogs in a mechanism. Roger, he knows I'm an engineer, so I think like machines. I like that kind of stuff. But when we practice these traits and we do them well, it's like oil in a metal machine, which makes it move and perform its work more efficiently without excessive wear or excessive noise. So, let me challenge each one of you with something. Now, it's related to bearing one another's burdens, but this is something that I've prayed about this. It's been on my heart for quite some time. It's over the last year or so, I've been taking prayer much more seriously than I had in the past. And I've seen answers to some of these prayers. And believe me, it could only be by God's grace and involvement that the answers happen the way they do. So I wondered just how much would it benefit Windsor's congregation if each of us took just one person, just one, and for 1 year, prayed specifically daily for that one person. When you see answers to prayer, it's an encouragement. It really is. And to just take one person, let them know, hey, I'm going to be praying for you for a year. I just wonder what the results would be. What would we see as a congregation? Just pray daily for that one person. It might be a good idea to let them know who they are. if I chose, not to have, but if I chose Al, I said, let him know so that he can share with me the things that are on his heart and how I can come alongside him and help him bear the burdens that he has. So I really do believe that the answers would be truly amazing. I'm not saying every prayer answered would be the way we want it. But God knows what's best for all of us. He's in the control. He knows it. And every answered prayer is an encouragement, not only for the prayee, but also for the prayer. So, any questions, comments, and desires to run me out of town?